بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 25th of November in the year 2021 الحمد لله we moved on to the 248th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu. And I'm on the section now where I've mentioned that his authority is now being weakened and his power is declining due to the unruly people of Iraq. And he is fed up with them, in his own words, and they are fed up with him. But note, was he making a dua for death? So here Hafiz ibn Kathir in his Al-Bidayah, on the chapter on the narrative of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he made an important clarification. So quote, as for our Sharia, it is not permitted to supplicate for death except at the times of fitna. Then he quotes, in Tirmidhi and Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu relates that the Prophet made the following dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you put a people to trial, then takers to you, I causes to die without being put into trial. And in a similar hadith, the words are, O son of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, death is better for you than fitna. This is in Ahmad in his Musnad, volume 5, page 427. So stop in the quote. So Hafiz ibn Kathir, he's explaining something here. The reason is because Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and if you look at the narrative, you may think that you're allowed to pray for death due to tribulations. So he said, in our Sharia, it's only allowed to supplicate for death when you are fearing fitna. And then he quotes the hadith where the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when you put a people to trial, takers to you without being put into trial. Think about that. So the Prophet himself made that dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in another hadith, death is better for you than fitna. Death. Then Ibn Kathir said, also Maryam radiyallahu anha, she said, in Surah Maryam radiyallahu anha, Surah 19, verse 23. Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha wa kuntu nasyam mansiya. Would that I had died before this and had become forgotten and out of sight. So he quotes Sayyida Maryam radiyallahu anha, and she made this dua. Now why was she making that dua? Because the fitna, she thought that I'm going to bring a child back to my people and they're going to start speaking ill. So she made that dua, showing that she had great knowledge. Then Ibn Kathir said, also Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu desired death during his time as the ruler when the fitna became severe and the people started fighting and killing each other. So here he mentions it. He goes, Ali eventually, because he was looking forward to death because of the severe fitna. Then he said, Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh, also desired death when things became very difficult for him and his opponents gave him a tough time. So even Imam Bukhari, if you go through his life, he had so many people who were envious of him, ulama as well. He couldn't even stay in one place. And eventually he wanted to leave. Then Ibn Kathir said, however, in times of ease, it is not permissible. For Anas radiyallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no one should desire death for a harm that inflicts him. For if the person was a good doer, then maybe he will increase in his good. Similarly, if he was an evil doer, then maybe he may repent. However, one should say, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep me alive as long as life is better for me and make me die if death is better for me. This is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. So Hafiz Ibn Kathir said, in times of ease, you cannot pray for death. But if you're going through a, you know, something that you feel is difficult for you, the most you can say is, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep me alive as long as life is better for me. And make me die if death is better for me. So it's important to mention this here when going through the life of Sayyidina Ali, because he understood this. So the severe fitna was getting very severe on Sayyidina Ali, and that's why you notice in his wordings, he was fed up. He wanted to leave. How eloquently did our blessed Mawla radiyallahu anhu depict this decrepit state of affairs when he said, verily I call you by night and by day, secretly and openly to fight these people. I told you to attack them before they attacked you. For by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no people are attacked in their land, but they are then humiliated. However, you were negligent and reluctant, so attacks were made against you and land was taken from you. May you thus perish, for you have become a target to be shot at. You are raided and do not raid others. You are attacked and do not attack others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being disobeyed and you are pleased with this. Is recorded in Al-Bayan wa Tabeen, page 238-9, Al-Mubarrad in his Al-Qamil, volume 1, page 30-31. So look how you can see he was fed up with the people. He goes, I've been calling you day and night. You're not listening. And now you've been attacked in your own land. And now you're going to get humiliated. Because this is what happens when you are attacked in your own land. And then he says, now you are a target. You are pleased that Allah Ta'ala is being disobeyed. Subhanallah, had not our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam foretold and informed his beloved son-in-law, my ummah will be unfaithful to you after me. Subhanallah. My ummah will be unfaithful to you after me. This is in Hakim in his Mustadrak, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih. Sheikh Suleiman Nadwi in his Seerat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, volume 3, page 499 of the English translation. So look how succinct the Prophet put it. Conciseness of speech. My ummah will be unfaithful to you after me. Meaning they're going to betray you. Now imagine Hazrat Ali hating this. You know, he was in his 30s at the time possibly. And what did that mean to him? The entire ummah is going to betray me. The Prophet didn't say some people will betray you. A section of the society. He goes, my ummah will be unfaithful to you after me. So he was preparing him, saying that, you know, you're going to have a severe test. And he's graciously being prepared by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, as mentioned, the following most touching report reached us from Ziyad A'rabi, rahmatullah alayh, in Ibn An-Najjar, Kanzul Umal, volume 8, page 220, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 319 of the New English Translation, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abu Talib radiyallahu, once ascended the pulpit in Kufa after the scourge of the Khawarij and after the battle had been fought against them at Nahrawan. So it's this time. So he's explaining that this is after the battle of Nahrawan. So Amir al-Mu'mineen gets onto the pulpit. He started praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he then suddenly choked on his tears and wept so much that his beard was soaked with tears, which then started to drip. He then shook his beard, and the droplets of tears happened to fall on some people. We thus believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade Jahannam from the people on whom those blessed tears fell. So now think about it. You got this report. If you don't know nothing about his life, clueless. Why is he weeping? He gets onto the pulpit, he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he just basically starts sobbing his blessed heart out. And he's weeping and weeping so much that his beard gets wet and is dripping. And then he goes, he shook his beard. And then some of those blessed tears fell on some people. And note, where are the blessings? In the front stuff. You know, people say, oh yeah, I'll be back relaxing. Good for you, mate. Right? So notice another sign there. Allah Ta'ala is teaching you that the blessings are at the front. And then look what the people said. We believe that Allah the Almighty forbade Jahannam from the people on whom those tears fell. In other words, because we know he's beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus in reality, how many broke that blessed and sacred heart about which no other than our beloved messenger himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever breaks his heart has broken my heart. Subhanallah. Whoever breaks his heart has then also broken my heart. This is in Al-Haythami in Majma Al-Zawaid 9-133. Now think about that. So how serious was the matter? If somebody says to you, the people of Iraq have broken the Prophet's heart, is that a small matter? Right? Somebody goes, Astaghfirullah, how have they broken his heart? Because they broke his son-in-law's heart. Then they start asking, well, how is that then? Because the Prophet said it. Whoever breaks his heart, breaks my heart. So how many thousands have broke his heart? So note, this is why he didn't pray for that place. The Prophet ﷺ refused. He could pray for the people of Iraq. Never prayed for them. And you can see the effects of that. The reason for these tears was probably his recollection of the blessed words of our beloved messenger who informed him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet said to Ali, in truth, you shall certainly experience great hardship after me. Sayyidina Ali asked, will my deen be safe, Ya Rasulullah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, certainly. This is in Abu Ya'la, Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-140 and 151 states Sahih. Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, number 32,117, Mursal and others. So look at his greatness. When the Prophet ﷺ told him, you're going to go through severe hardship. And when the Prophet says that, you can bet your bottom dollar in Manda. And look what he said. This shows how great he was. Is my deen safe, Ya Rasulullah? He didn't ask. Like we, you know, normal people, what's the difficulty, Ya Rasulullah? You've got to tell me the details. All he asked was about his deen. He said, will my deen be safe? And look how the Prophet responded. He goes, certainly. Nothing can, you know, affect your deen. In other words, I'm just letting you know, be prepared for this. So what did he have to face? This is what Sayyidina Ali faced, radiallahu. False prophets, munafiqs, hypocrites, mischief mongers, rebels, and sincere believers, all of whom the venerable Khalif had to deal with throughout his entire Khilafat. So one moment he's dealing with the Sahaba, next moment he's dealing with the Tabi'in, next moment he's dealing with unruly Muslims, next minute, you know, bordering on Munafiq, next minute, pure shaitans. Right? So notice he was right in the middle of it, and of course he moved to Iraq, so obviously he was going to be surrounded by this. And in another Christian report, Sayyidina Anas relates, radiyallahu, this is in Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-129 and 155. The Imam Zahabi states there's a weakness. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu relates, I once went with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see Ali radiallahu. He was ill. Whilst Abu Bakr and Umar were also visiting him radiallahu anhu. One of them thereupon said to the other, I do not think he is going to survive. Meaning he looks so ill, Ali. So either Abu Bakr said that to Umar, or Umar said that to Abu Bakr, because it looks like he's on, you know, he's going to pass away. When Rasulullah heard this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, in truth, he shall not die other than murdered, and he shall not die until he is filled with bitterness. Subhanallah. So look how twitching. They thought he's going to die from the illness. And you get people like this, you see them. Because jawabi ho gaya, right? Jawabi, that sounds like jalebi, right? He goes, jawabi ho gaya, right? He goes, oh yeah, any moment he's gonna go. Next day he's eating grapes, right? So Allah Ta'ala teaches you a few lessons sometimes. He goes, jawabi, jalebi na, right? So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he literally looked like he was gonna die because Abu Bakr and Umar, they knew death, radiallahu anhu. When they said that, look at the amazing statement of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is only going to die through murder. Somebody's going to murder him, assassinate him. And when he dies, his heart will be filled with bitterness. So the Prophet was basically saying, don't worry about that, because something else is written for him. Such are the tests and tribulations of those most near and dear to our loving Lord. Now think about it. When somebody goes to you, does Allah the Almighty and Glorious love Ali? He goes, is that a serious question, brother? And he goes, yeah. He goes, if he doesn't love him, then we've got serious problems. Then you go, right, so why was the kitchen sink thrown at him? Because what do you mean? He goes, you've been going through his khilafah for the last 100 days, and every single day it's like you're getting grey hair. And then he goes, because he loved him. Then the guy goes, if you love someone, you don't put him into the streets. You protect him. He goes, yes, that's the creation. But when Allah Ta'ala loves someone, he does the opposite. So you have to stop at that. You don't start using your logic. Another example of what he's totally unlike us with. The hadith in Tirmidhi, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you stop asking Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he gets angry. Totally unlike us. Because if you keep asking, what happens to us? Neighbor knocks on your door, run out of sugar, there you go, take it. Next day, run out of salt, right? There you go. Next day, got any tea bags? There you go. Next day, got any milk? Eventually, what's going to happen? Do you ever go shopping? You know, something like this is going to come out of your mouth. Or there's another neighbor on the other side. Why have you got angry? Because that's human nature's creations like this. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he gets angry if the person stops coming for tea bags and milk, metaphorically. So here, Allah Ta'ala does this with the creation. If he loves them, he tests them. And if you look at the test we're putting, that shows your level of iman. Think about it, what tests have we been through thus far in our illustrious lives? It's a big joke. And then you go, I'm what I'm. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, you are tested according to your religious commitment. If your commitment is strong, your test is strong. Otherwise, it's weak. Allah Ta'ala, you know, make sure that you can only take what you can handle. And this is why, because it's Friday, we've got Surah Al-Kahf. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, in Hakim in his Mustadrak Sahih Hadith, Surah Al-Kahf protects you from all fitna. If you recite it, right? Surah Al-Kahf protects you from all fitna. And what did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Death is better than fitna. So if you see people drop, and they do drop early, you see your brothers and sisters, they die early. If they read Surah Al-Kahf, it's more than likely Allah Ta'ala has protected them from fitna. He took their life. Because the Prophet said, death is better than fitna. And what protects you from fitna? Surah Al-Kahf. And yet people are oblivious. One brother goes, oh, it's too long. Carry on, brother. Subhanallah, as time passed, it became increasingly clear to the Amir al-Mu'mineen that he now would never be able to lead a second force against Sayyidina Muawiyah. He couldn't do it. People weren't listening. Subhanallah, it then comes as no wonder that later when the Umayyads came into power, such a ruthless man like Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was appointed over them as their emir, who controlled them just like a stern shepherd controls his unruly flock. Just deserves for such a large percentage of pathetic and docile people. They deserved Hajjaj. People say, oh, why did the Umayyad send Hajjaj? Because you don't know the people of Iraq. And he sorted them out. The Rawafid became silent. The Khawarij became silent. Yes, sir, yes, sir, three bugs full, sir. Why have you become silent? When you've got a rabid dog over you, and when you had an angel over you, you killed him. Explain that to people of Iraq. And then they give you that, you know what it was. And so on, their judgment. So this is why the Umayyads did it. And Hazrat Muawiyah, this is why he put some people in positions of authority. Not because he had great affection for them, because he was a master politician. And the Iraq, he put very interesting people in charge there. And later on, his successors also did this. So all I mentioned today was basically the tragic scenario where Sayyidina Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen, radiallahu anhu, he's literally yearning to leave the world. And the reason being of the severe tribulation that is taking place, is the people disobeying his commands and the gravity of that. Because the Prophet said, whoever breaks his heart, breaks my heart. And then of course I mentioned that it's important that we recite the blessed Surah Al-Kahf, especially on Friday. Because this is one of the great protections against all fitna. Not just Dajjal that people are fond of narrating. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من خدام جيب سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل بالحق وواصل بالخير والعفو والله والاسلام